Appreciate that song. I'm glad we serve a God who never changes. It's always the same. So thankful for that tonight. Well, we are talking about soteriology, which is the study of salvation. And tonight we're going to talk about repentance. We kind of started last week, but we didn't get through it, and I did not want to rush through it. I believe it's probably, as me and Pastor was talking about, it's one of the hot topic things in amongst Independent Baptists right now is repentance and what is it. And I'm glad God gave me an extra week because I found some things that I think even helped me. And I believe this. If the Bible interprets a word, then it's right. And so tonight we're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about repentance. I'm not going to give you every verse on it, but you can do that word study on your own. But I will give you quite a few verses tonight. I hope you'll be patient with me. I'll not look them all up, but I'll give them to you. I hope that you would write them down. And I believe if we break this subject up into two categories, I believe tonight, hopefully it'll be a help to you. And if you ever have questions, please let Pastor know, okay? I just put that right on him. Now, please ask us. And I've always said this, is that if you have questions and never ask it, you'll never have answers. And I always say this too, that if I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. I know some good godly men that I can go to and I can always find the answer. And we always say we start with Brother Stewart. If he don't know it, then you don't ask nobody else because they don't know it either. But no, I would ask some of the men even in this room or, you know, and there again, there are some things you don't get answers to. You just trust it by faith. And so, anyway, let's look at the Bible tonight. And I want to start with kind of an obscure scripture. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want you to see some of the wording in this. But Romans chapter 10, we're all pretty familiar with chapter 10. And we're going to read 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10 here in a little bit, which are familiar. But look at verse 3, if you will. The Bible says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness," which is today, by the way, "have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now, if you look at that word submitted there, that is it means the same thing as repented. They have not repented of it. In other words, when you repent of something, you turn and you submit to something else, okay? And so he says, because they have not done that, "for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth," right? That Jesus is the end of the law. "For Moses desired the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." In other words, the law was man, what man had to do, right? We see that righteousness of God is what God has done through Jesus Christ. See, there's people who think repentance is, I've got to clean my life up before I get saved. That's man work. That's man works, right? And nobody is ever saved by man works. It just doesn't work. Why? Because we are unrighteous. We go about to establish our own righteousness. But God's already established righteousness through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the way to bridge that between unrighteous and righteousness is for us to turn from this unto God. And tonight we're going to go through that in verse 9 and 10. Look at that if you will. Matter of fact, he says in verse 8, he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." In other words, he's saying there's preaching that's happening, and then there's repentance that is happening, and there's salvation mixed in that. And I'm going to explain all this here in a little bit. Verse 9 says, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Salvation is always by grace through faith. You can't change that in no way. Not of works which we have done, right? But according to his mercy, he has saved us. Verse 10, I want you to notice verse 10. He says, "For with the heart man believeth," notice that word, "unto righteousness." Now, when you use the word "unto," it means that you're changing from this unto something else. You ever say this to yourself, "I'm done with this, now I'm on to the next thing," right? That "on to" or "unto" means I'm was here, but now I'm going here. And what happens at the time when the Word of God has been preached to us, the light of God, the light of the Word of God shines into our life and shows us the filthiness, the unrighteous, that we go about to establish our own righteousness. And the Word of God shines a light on that. And through the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit convicts our heart and shows us the filth of it. right? By the way, all of our houses are clean at night. Because you can't see it, right? But you know, if you ever want, if you want to have something clean, you put it in the dark. But when the light's on it, you realize. You ever tried to wash your car in the shade? Hello? Nobody else like me? I don't do that no more because they make these things called car washes. Amen. And but I remember we'd wash the car and it'd be a little cloudy outside or something, and you'd wash it and you'd be like, man, I got this thing. But you put it in the sunlight, guess what happens? You realize all the spots you missed. And that's what God's Word does in our life. It shows us the filth. It shows us that our righteousness is unrighteousness. That it is filth to God. It is filthy rags, as the Bible says. But when the Word of God and the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, the law of God, shines in our hearts and shows us what's wrong, guess what happens? We realize the filth. And what happens at that point, we repent of that. And through that, we repent and we turn unto God. Because this is not what I want. This is filthy. This is dirty. I need a Savior. And we're going to talk about that tonight, and we'll break it down here in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God. And Lord, I sure do need you to take control of my mind, my heart tonight, my life. And Lord, speak through me, through your Word, through your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I yield myself totally and wholly to you tonight. And God, I pray for in the next few moments, God, you would just, Lord, enlighten us. Lord, that you give us understanding of this subject of repentance. And Lord, we sure love you tonight. And ask your blessings now upon this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, repentance. So, I want to go through this. What is repentance, okay? There are two different definitions. And listen, I've read a lot on this, and I don't know everything. Obviously, I don't know a quarter, a tenth, or a sixteenth of what I should know. But I do want to say that if you look at the Scripture, there has to be two meanings to the word repentance, basically. And so, we're going to look at that tonight. Turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And I know you know this scripture, but I want us to look at it with our own eyes. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. I want you to notice what the Bible says. There is the first part of what is repentance. It is, the definition is the feeling sorry or sorrowful. By the way, that is not salvation. Just because you feel sorry for something that you've done doesn't mean you're saved. Does that make sense? Just because you have sorrow, and we're going to talk about this, there's two different sorrows in the Bible also. There's godly sorrow, and then there's earthly sorrow. In other words, my kids are always sorry when they get caught. But they're not sorry enough to not go back and redo it again, right? Because it doesn't come about with, a lot of times, I'm sorry I did this, and I'm just sorry, I'm not necessarily turning from it. Does that make sense? Just because I'm like, oh man, I feel bad I did that. There's a difference, and so we got to look at the wording in the Bible. So in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, and it, now notice what he says here, if I can find the verse, it's in here somewhere. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So, if repentance is the only definition is the turning to God, then this wouldn't make sense because He is God, right? And you can't say that every time that repentance is in the Bible, that's talking about salvation because our Lord doesn't need salvation. But if you said that one definition of repentance or repent means to be sorry or to be sorrowful, this would make sense, right? God was sorry that He made man. The sorrow that was in His heart that He had made man. Why? Because of what they were doing. In other words, God didn't go back and recreate us. Does that make sense? The Lord could have said, oh, I messed this up. I'm going to wipe them out and start over again. Now, He did do that to some extent with the ark, but He didn't wipe everything out. It just sorrowed him at his heart. It repented the Lord. And so this sorry or the sorrowfulness of our Lord that he had made man because of what he saw that man was doing. And by the way, repentance also is not quitting sin. Does that make sense? Repentance is not quitting sin, because if that means that, then our Lord says, well, I'm repenting. I'm quitting the sin. No, but the sorrow of the heart. We see that also, and you can write these down, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 18. Judges chapter 2 and verse 18 talks about the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6. So you got Judges chapter 2 verse 18, Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 6. And then two spots in Matthew talks about this sorrow. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21. And then Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14. So Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21 and Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14. And then also Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20 talks about this sorrow. So the first part of repentance, if we look at it, and it's up there too, and you ain't got to, I forgot they were up there. But the first part of repentance, what is it? It's a sorrow. It's a sorry. Right? This is not necessarily a turning. Does that make sense? But let's look at the next thing. The next one does mean that, because we can show it through the Scripture. And I'll give you these Scripture, and they're up there. I forgot I was reading them as if you didn't see them, but they're up there. I forgot my wife did that for me. But we see it means to turn or to change your mind. In other words, due to the light that has been shown on your sin, you see it and you go, ah. Right? Now, let me say this. I believe this is a great illustration, I hope, anyway. But when God shows you the filth of your sin, you don't go get a rag and try to clean it up. Right? In other words, I know we use these illustrations a lot. There's plenty of them. But if I'm an alcoholic, if I'm a drunkard, and I try to quit drinking, guess what? I'm trying that on my own, right? I go to the meetings or I take medicine or whatever it may be. But guess what? Most of the time, as the Bible says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so do we return back to our sin. Right? And I don't know about you, but it seems like, you ever try to use a dirty rag to clean up something that's already dirty? That's what we do in our life. My brother had bought a car, and we were having it shipped out today, and I got some grease on the back where I'd been working on it, and I grabbed a rag and I started wiping and realized real quick, like, the rag I grabbed was my other grease rag. And I started wiping and I was like, uh-oh, I'm making a bigger mess. But that's what we do when we try to clean up our life on our own. Only thing that you can do is, when God shines light on your sin, is not to try to clean it up, because you can't. But it is to do what? Say it, class. To turn from it. But not just to turn away from it and go, whoo, I'm done with that. Because you will return back to it just as a dog returns back to his vomit. I know it's in the Scripture, by the way. But that's what we do. But if you turn from, and we're going to see a lot of Scripture here in just a little bit, that we turn from to. We turn from to. And by the way, that is a rule of our life all the time. Repentance is, yes, good for salvation, but repentance is for me and you every day. Listen, quit trying to clean up your life on your own. You're never going to do it. You can turn from it and go about your life, but you're going to go right back to it. We have these things. I know y'all don't really know what they are, but they're called roundabouts. We don't have any around here that are aggravating. We don't have any around here that they made, and then they said, well, we didn't make it big enough. Let's make a bigger one. And then they realize, well, that's not big enough, you know. Pretty soon it'll take a whole city block. But, you know, it's kind of like if you get on those roundabouts, and every now and then with the kids, you know, especially with Brody, I get on and you just keep going. That aggravates everybody else trying to get back on there, but it's fun for a little while. I remember when they built the first one down here off of 287 in Harmon. I had the most fun on that thing, and then they put rocks in the middle, and I was like, they're just begging me to drive over that. But it's like that in our life, that if we turn from sin and we don't turn to God, we will return back to where we started. Because the only power me and you have to get rid of any sin in our life is to turn from it and turn to God and fall at His feet and say, God, you got to clean my life up. Lord, you got to help me. And through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, He will do that for you. That's the kind of God we serve. And it's the same way with salvation. When a lost person realizes through the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word that they're filth and that they're dirty, that the sorrow does come to some degree, the conviction comes, but yet it has to be a turning to belief in Jesus Christ. It is all one act. By the way, let me say this while I'm thinking about it too, is that when we're leading somebody to the Lord, we don't necessarily say, you got to repent. But the act of them believing in Jesus Christ is repentance. And we're going to see that here in a little bit, that basically the New Testament sermon that was preached throughout all the New Testament was turned from the idols, mainly, to the living God. And that's taking your faith and your belief away from that unto Him. It's a transfer of trust, is what it is. I used to trust this, now I'm trusting Him. So I hope that I'm clear enough tonight. But to turn or to change mind, we have to change our mind. And let me say this too, is that this is not part of salvation, but once you turn from sin unto God, you're also going to change. Now, it's not going to be overnight, right? All things become new, right? In other words, when you get saved, and just because you repent of something, it's going to be a process. I know there were some things when I got saved that God took away from my life. I never will forget. I know y'all are going to look down on me, but I used to be a horrible cusser. I used to have a sailor hat, and I wasn't Popeye. And I did. I was raised around it. My dad believed that you use these words instead of all these other words that are actually in the dictionary. I was raised so that my family was that way on my dad's side. I was just raised around it. That was the language I knew. And I remember when I got saved, I was like, Lord, I was convicted about that pretty quick. And you know what? You ever want to be tested, by the way? I never forget. I said, Lord, I give it to you. I want you to help me. And man, I went a week. I was like, hallelujah, got victory. And then the Lord was going to test me. Because anytime I get a hammer in my hand, usually one of these are going to get hit. And sure enough, we were doing some building or something. I never will forget it. I believe it was this thumb right here. And I remember I come down on it, threw the hammer, jumped up and said, glory. And I was like, whoa, it worked. And for like 2 seconds, I forgot about how my thumb was going. But see, repentance is, yes, it is salvation, that we turn from our ways, we turn from our sin, our belief unto God. But there is a process that goes on after that too, that repentance brings, and I don't want to get too deep into that, but you know what I'm saying, is that it changes our mind, but eventually it changes our heart, and it changes our life. I'm glad I don't do the things I used to do. You know why I don't do the things I used to do? Because I don't have a desire to do them. Now, do I still mess up? Sure I do. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. And then he said a bunch of other stuff that I always get jumbled up. But to turn or to change the mind, I'll read this very quickly. Exodus 32:14 says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now, when you read that one, God wasn't sorrowful or sorry that he did something, but he turned from what he was going to do. In other words, because that Moses had prayed for the people, God turned His wrath away from His people. So even God is showing us, the Lord is showing us two different things. That yeah, He felt sorrowful up here and sorry that He made man, but here He did not do what He was going to do. He turned from it. And so even God shows us those two different definitions. We see in Acts 11:21, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That word turned unto the Lord, they repented. They turned from their idols. They were worshiping idols. And all the Jews back in those days had idols of gold and idols that they would worship. And they turned from that and turned unto God. We need more of that today, don't we? By the way, the hardest part of someone getting saved is to show them that they're wrong in the first place. They have no need to repent because there's nothing wrong. Because that's what they've been taught now. You're perfect, little Johnny. No, you're not, little Johnny. You're wicked. It's not a fun thing to say to your kids. But it's the truth. It's what the Bible says, that we are our righteous as filthy rags. We're dirty and we're filthy before God. We see also that in Acts chapter 14 and verse 15, if you want to write those down, also it says, and saying, sirs, what do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you. In other words, he was talking about the desires and things that we all slip. But he says, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. In other words, we're all born into sin. And here the message goes out. Peter says, listen, you've got to turn from this. That you must turn from these vanities and unto the living God. In other words, there has to be a turning. It's almost like a ship that is going north and realizes that's the wrong direction. And makes an about turn and goes south. That's what we must do in our life. I'll read a few more here. Acts chapter 26 and verses 15 through 18. It says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, and I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which I have seen, and those things which I will appear unto thee. Deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Unto now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among which them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." In other words, here's what God's saying. Four things tonight. I want you to notice this. It is, number one, it's a turning from the idols to God. Turning from something that is dead unto something that is live. That is repentance. Notice the second thing. It is a turning from darkness unto light. In other words, you realize that you're living in darkness here, and only Jesus Christ can bring about light in your life. You say, how can that? Pastors already preached this on Sunday mornings. John chapter 1, he said, I am light. John said, I came to bear witness of that light. And John said, no, wait a minute, I'm not that light. But I come to bear witness, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we turn from darkness unto Him, notice the third thing, it is a turning from unbelief to belief. All these are the same, but you see what I'm saying? Turning from being lost to being saved. That is what repentance is. It is that turning, that change of mind. It is that, whew, that's filthy unto God. Listen, our thought of Christ is so important to what we think of Him, because it does direct our life. He is the only pure and holy God, isn't He? You say, what do you think? Let me give you the next thing. I just keep going. Who preached repentance? That's always important in the Bible, isn't it? Number one, John the Baptist. He preached repentance. Matter of fact, if you notice what it says there in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matter of fact, he told us also in Matthew chapter 3 that if they didn't repent, he wouldn't baptize them. You say, what does that mean? If they didn't get saved, he wasn't going to baptize them. I keep saying, by the way, I don't know another word to put there. But a lot of people think that John preached a different gospel than Jesus did. He didn't. He preached the same exact gospel. And you say, well, it was a different baptism. No, it was baptism by immersion. It's the same baptism that the disciples did. And so, that's not the lesson now, but keep going, Wiggins. Number two, Jesus preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Notice what he said. I talk to myself a lot. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, in other words, this was his first message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Jesus preached it. Don't you think it'd be important for us to preach repentance? The apostles preached repentance. Jesus gave them this command in Mark chapter 6, verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. I believe it's pretty important. Peter preached it. Matter of fact, Peter preached it. I didn't put this one up there, but you can write this one down. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Peter preached it, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Hey, he preached repentance. The last one we see that Paul preached it. And some people say, well, repentance was only for the Jews. I love when people don't know what to do. They're like, well, that was just for the Jews. No, it's to the Gentiles too. Paul preached it in Acts chapter 17, telling us that the Gentiles should... matter of fact, go to... Acts chapter, I didn't write that one down. Let's look at that and I'll be done. Acts chapter 17 and verse 13. Or verse 30, sorry. Acts 17, 30. Notice what Paul says here. The message from Paul. In verse 30 it says, "And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what? To repent." Paul's preaching to the churches here. And he goes and he begins to preach these messages. And he goes in to Thessalonica and he begins to preach this message here and begins to preach unto them and says this very thing that every man should repent. Folks, I'm telling you, if Paul preached it, if Jesus preached it, if John the Baptist preached it, if the disciples preached it, I think it's pretty important. And we cannot, matter of fact, a very famous preacher said this. He said that repentance, and this is an independent Baptist preacher, said repentance is the enemy of the gospel. If I said his name, he used to have one of the largest churches, independent Baptist churches in America. He said repentance is the enemy of the gospel. Folks, it's not. It's the brother. It's the counterpart of salvation. It is of the gospel, that the gospel comes and shows us that we're sinners, and through that we repent of what we are. Listen, if you're not sorry for what you are, you're not going to turn either. Right? If I'm like, well, you ever see your kids like that? You know? They're like, they do something and you look at them and go, "Why'd you do that?" And then they just keep going. They're not sorry about it unless they get caught. They don't want to tell on themselves. I remember when our kids were small. Shell was not here. But you go in the bedroom and there'd be markings on the wall. And at that point, I only have one kid. I didn't do it. Oh, okay. It must have been a robber came in with a crayon and wrote all over the wall. That's what they're doing nowadays, right? But I can tell you that when my kids got saved, it was different. When my kids come in and they're broken for what they did and they turn from it unto God. Listen, our life should be turning from to turning to. You know why? Because we have a Savior who does this. Just come back. Listen, I'm glad when the prodigal son came, his dad didn't go, "Buddy, you ruined that." I'm glad that he went, "Woohoo! Went a running and kissed him. Ugh, he'd been with the hogs." And kissed him. Do you know where he kissed him? The Bible's very specific. Kissed him on the neck area. You know where we get dirty the most? So when I sweat, those little creases right in there, they grab that dirt. And they hold on to it. I didn't have those creases at one time. I got them now. But you know what? He loved him. He forgave him. Because why? The son was repentant. And he left the hog pen. And he knew that he had to turn from and to. And the father met him and forgave him, and he'll do the same for you. Let's stand tonight. I'll pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, that you do forgive us. Lord, thank you that you love us so much. Lord, help us to have that change of mind. Lord, to turn from and to turn to. Lord, we certainly tonight thank you for your word. Father, I pray tonight that you would bless your word as we have an invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.